Okay, tonight is Monday night, January the 7th, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Leil Rosh Chodesh Shvat. This is the Gemara Shir. We're on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, when it had quoted the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda as to whether or not you can use an animal as a wall of a sukkah, also quoted another shita, which has nothing to do with our Gemara, but the Gemara also mentioned that Rabbi Yossi Haglili said that you cannot use an animal to write a get upon it. Af ein kosin alav dite nashim. You cannot write an animal, a live animal, you can't write a get on a live animal and deliver it to your wife. So the Gemara is going to try to explain, tavos nisht, why not? Why can't you write a get and then on an animal and then deliver the whole animal to the wife and say, here, harez agita, here is your get, no problem. So let's see what the Gemara says. Again, it's got nothing to do with our thing, but the Gemara will spend tonight the entire share on this half Amud Gemara on this issue. Amamar, top of the page. Mishum Rav Yossi Haglili Amru, Af en kosvin alav gite nashim. One is not permitted to write a get on an animal. My time is the Rav Yossi Haglili. Desanya Sefer. The Pasuk writes in Parshas Kisese, V'chosav lo sefer krisus. Ein li'ela sefer. This would indicate that the only thing that you're allowed to what? To write a get on is a sefer, like a book, a piece of paper. Minayin l'rabos kol davar. How do I know that you're allowed to write a get on anything? Not necessarily a piece of paper, sefer, anything. Talmud loymar v'chosav lo. Drash mikol makom. You can write the get on anything. In Cain, ma talmud loma sefer. So why then does it, if you can write the get on anything, it should have said v'chosav lo krisus. Why does it have to say sefer krisus? Ma talmud loma sefer. Answers Rabbi Yossi Haglili, loy malachot to teach you, ma sefer davar she'en bo ruach chayim ve'eno ochel. Just as a sefer is something that is not alive and is not an edible, af kol davar she'en bo ruach chayim ve'eno ochel, so too, in order to write it yet, you must write it on something that is not a something that's not alive and it's not an edible. Very difficult shita, because you can write on a tuft of alezayis, marim gittin. You can write it on a leaf. And if I wanted to think of things that are not similar to what to a sefer, I can start writing 60 things, right? Don't write it on a table, okay? Table's not the safer. Don't write it on a chair. Chair's not a safer. You know, if you're already doing an ochel and something that has life, you can make up things that fit, 68 things that fall to this category, right? Don't write it on a piece of clothing. That's not a safer. Don't write it, you're allowed to write it on a piece of clothing. You know, so what's the difference between a safer versus an ochel? You know, why can't you write a get on an apple? What's the big deal? Because it's not like a sefer. No, so I can write 60 other things that are not like svarim. You don't sit on a sefer, but you sit on a chair. So a chair is not like a. So it's difficult conceptually to understand exactly how Rabbi Yossi Haglili sees that the word sefer is to exclude only two categories and not 50. Namely, it's to exclude an ochel, and it's to include something that enjoys life. And that's why the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And the halacha is you're allowed to write a get on anything as long as it's not mechuba lekarka, as long as it's not attached to the ground. But if it's something which davar hanason hamasur miyad liyad, anything that you can give over from one person to the other person by hand, then you're allowed to write a get on it. So all of the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yossi Hagalili.
Why don't they say that request of that general star you can write on an animal, right?
No, that you can.
So a general star.
Why not?
That you can.
Yeah, it's only a get that you can.
There's no problem with that.
None whatsoever. Yeah, by the start,
why not? Only that because
only big right. That's what Rabbi Yosef Lili is learning. It's derived from the inference Sefer Krisus. Asks the Gemara, the Rabbanan, how do the Rabbanan respond to this charge? If they claim you're allowed to write a get on an animal, how do they respond to the additional word Sefer? Answers the Gemara, Ikosav b'Sefer kitakam. If the Torah had written the Chosav law bit Sefer Krisus, so then it has something like a book, something style on paper. So I can hear that. Hashta dechsiv Sefer, now that what? That the Torah does not write bit Sefer, but Sefer, what do I mean? Misfiras dvarim ba'al mahuda asa. What it means is a very famous phrase in Masechus Gittin, the Sfiras Dvarim, that the get has to tell the entire story. Nothing can be extrapolated based on impressions or circumstantial. Every piece of information has to emerge from the get itself. The get's got to tell the story, what's happening here in this situation. And as a result, that's what the Chachamim believe is learned out from Sefer, that Sfiras Dvarim, that the get has to be responsible for everything in that particular text. Yes. In fact, one of Rav Chaim's big contributions in terms of get is that a person has to recognize that a get is not only a legal document that serves as a bill of divorce, but it also has to be analyzed first and foremost through Hilchos Shtaros. And the requirement of Sfiras Dvarim may not necessarily be limited only to a get, but that any shtar has to, in effect, tell you what's taking place in this particular episode. And in fact, that was, I'm sure you remember this when we learned Git, that was one of Rav Chaim's biggest chidushim. That what? That a shtar is a shtar. Whew. What a chidush. A shtar is a shtar. And a shtar is not Haggadah Edus Piksav. A shtar is not simply testimony written down. Because testimony written down is not admissible in court. Based on the fact that the Torah writes, Al Pi Shnayim Edim, based on the testimony. And Ksiva, if an aide were to write there, write an affidavit, it's not accepted in a court of law. But a shtar is not Edus Diksav. What creates a shtar? The fact that there is what's called Das HaMeschayev. The fact that the person who is obligating him or herself to the document acknowledges, I am creating a certain obligation upon myself as a result of this document. That does not take place with testimony. Testimony witnesses report what they saw without consulting the parties involved. Here, a get cannot be created unless the parties are involved. And then Rav Chaim comes along and says that a shtar can even be na'ived things that are not even really in the shtar. Those above and beyond Sfiras Dvarim. Unbelievable. How much a shtar has the capacity to state. For example, he says, I'm not going to elaborate, so give me one illustration about things that the document speaks of. Take, for example, there is a, take, for example, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds Eide Chassima Karse. Eide Chassima Karse. Which means that that which creates the essence of a shtar or a debt is two signatories who signed the piece of paper. So it's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. Very strange. Whether Eide Mesira Karse, what creates a debt? Is it the signatures, Chassima, or simply the witnesses who witnessed the transmission of the document from party A to party B? Is it the witnessing of the transmission, or is it the signing of the piece of paper? So Rabbi Meir says that it's Eidech Simakarsa. Very nice. So as soon as you sign the piece of paper, it now becomes a document. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that even though Rabbi Meir holds Eidech Simakarsa, by a get, he's going to have to agree that you have Eidech Nasira as well. Why? Because there is a halacha, ein davar shebe'erva takas mishnayim. No act effecting the marital status of a husband and wife can be effected with less than two people present. So you have to have eidei nesira. Good. Very nice. That's the Rabbeinu Tam's mechadash. Very nice. That every time you have a guest, even though you hold Rabbi Meir, eidei nesira karsen, eidei nesira must be present as well. Very nice. Good. You're now the rav of a kehilah. Okay? A woman comes to you, moves into the shul. Okay? She doesn't seem to be married. Yes? You can find out. She's divorced. Very nice. She finds somebody in the shul. She wants to get married. You're going to miss you. She asks you, Rabbi, be beside a kedusha. What's the first thing you're going to ask her? What? Where's your get? She takes out the get and shows it to you. So after you see the get, no, everything's fine. I'll go ahead and run being beside a kedusha. How do I know to Eide Nesira at the time of the get? How do I know? Sure, she has a get. But maybe the husband gave it to her and there was nobody around. And you need Eide Nesira, says the Rabbeinu Tam. Because Ein Davar Shebe'erva Pachas Mishnayim. So what's the answer? Shtar is a shtar. Once you validate this piece of paper as a shtar, it does so much talking. And it tells us that if this woman has this piece of paper, in all probability, what happened? Everything was done properly. Everything was done properly. She's making the seerah, and therefore she can get married. So the Rabbanan respond to Rabbi Yossi Haglili that what does the word sefer mean? Not to exclude an animal and an apple. You can't write a get on an animal and an apple. What does it say? That the get should tell a story. That's all. That's why the Torah uses the word v'chotavlo sefer krisus. Es to Gemara v'Rabbanan. Hi, the chosav my darshive. After Rabbi Yossi Haglili darshened two things. Rabbi Yossi said that from the chosav law, I darshan, it doesn't have to be a piece of paper or a book, right? Because it said, first, it was a two-step process. I could have thought that it only is a bill of divorce, safer. Talmud Lamer, the chosav law. Anything. So if it can be anything, it means anything. Talmud Maimar Sefer, then it could be anything but animals and edibles. Animals and edibles. So we already know what the Rabbanan do with what? With Sefer. What do they learn out from the word V'chotzav? I don't know what else that the Torah could have written if it had not said V'chotzav, but anyhow, answers the Gemara. Hahu mi bayaluhu, the Chacham in Darshan, Biksiva misgareshes, ze'ena misgareshes bekesef. That what? That she can be divorced only through the writing of a get, and cannot be divorced with kesef. Sal kedai techamina, I would have imagined, ho will the iskish yitzia lahavaya? Since what? Halacha compares getting divorced to getting married. Yitzia v'havaya, So we will darsh. Ma havaya bekesef, af yitziya bekesef. That just as you're allowed to get married with kesef, we all do it, you give a ring, so too you can get divorced with kesef as well. Chomash malon, therefore the Torah has to write and say, although there is a hekesh between what? Havaya liyitziya, it doesn't work in this case. That for Havaya, for marriage, you can get engaged three ways. Kesef shtar via. For a divorce, you can only get divorced by writing a get. And that the Rabbanon learn out from the word v'chasa. Good. Rabotai, don't look at Rashi yet. Don't look at us. I want to get survey says. What is exactly the Havamina that they wanted to propose how the woman would be being divorced? Ha! But be careful. What would happen? What would happen? Give me the case. We know it doesn't work. But give me the case that the Gemara considered. What? The husband, he's her mother. No, ksuba. Never heard of a ksuba. We are creating a divorce without writing a document. What would happen in order to create this divorce without a written document? What is going to happen with the money? Who's giving money and to whom? She's going to give money to him. That would be the logical thing, right? Because when you get married, what happens? He gives her the money he acquired. So if you want her to be released, she takes the money and gives it back to you. That's it. I'm not yours anymore. That would have been logical. Good, lady fell to the trap. Thank you.
Why would you think that? She's buying herself out.
Like what?
Why did you say before, ignore the Ksuba came, ignore the Ksuba?
Ksuba does discussion afterwards. That's a different payment. That's triggered after the divorce. After a woman is divorced, the husband has to pay the Ksuba. But I was asking, how do you get divorced with Kesef?
But he has to get first.
That's what I want to talk about. But the logic would have said that if you wanted to undo something which he did al yaday kesef, take for example, if he were to return something. I don't want to use it in such words. Right?
Yeah, I understand the logic, but that's not what we would think because we know what the Torah says.
Okay. Let's take a look at Rashi, and this is 101. Take a look. Rashi, of course, didn't say what you said. Take a look at Rashi. Ve'ena miskareshes bekesef. Says Rashi, what's the case? Li tein lo kesef. L'shem Gerushin. He would be taking out another dollar out of his pocket, giving her the dollar, and say, Hare at Mikudesha Migureshes Mimeni B'dollar Zu. Vilomar, just like it, Hare at Mikudureshes Bo. Kiderev Shinasan B'kidushin, just as what? He gave her at the time of Kiddushin, the Amar, Harayak Mikudeshes Bo, be engaged to me as a result of you having acquired this dollar, this ring. Good. So, two things are leading us to understand why did Rashi feel that was the case? Why didn't Rashi want to go along with that thing that said no? It's the wife who gives the money to the husband. Okay, so you said, v'nasan v'yadah, fine. You said, what did you say? The he'ah. That's one possible explanation which we shine and give for Rashi. Because the only way we would have justified kesef is by comparing it to what? To kedushin. And by kedushin, it is the husband who gives the money. So here too, the husband would give the divorce, the money and trigger the divorce. But it still needs a little clarification.
On the other hand,
still needs a little clarification. And in order to crystallize it, I want to share with you a very famous machloikis between the Sma and the Tav in Hilchos Kiddush. And it's much more, it's a fundamental machloikis between the Sma and the Taz. Very fundamental machloikis. Yeah. When we know that there is such a thing called Kesef as a mechanism of Kinyan. Kesef works for karka. Kesef works to engage a woman. The Sma says that when you give Kesef as a Kinyan, it has to be understood in effect as acquiring value. Acquiring value. It's like, says the Sma, Tchilat Piraon. It's like the beginning of payment for the value that you have received in return. So when I buy a piece of property, I am getting value. I'm getting a piece of property. The person who's selling it has to be paid. So when I use a pruta as what? As a Kenyan, the pruta has to be understood as what? As tchilat piraon. It's like a down payment. Correct. And the Taz said, absolutely not. Kenyan kesef has absolutely nothing to do with what? With what? With what? With payment for value. Kinyan kesef is only one thing. It's a mitzvah kinyan. It's a symbolic act of kinyan that has absolutely nothing to do with the exchange in value. Nothing to do with the exchange in value. One of the arguments which the Taz used against the Sma was the fact that kesef works for kedushin. That kesef works for kedushin. Why? Would anybody ever think that a woman would be what? Would evaluate herself that I am only worth what, a pruta? And that's it? When you're dealing with the acquisition of a piece of property, when you're dealing with a piece of property, even if you wanted to look at it as a down payment, you know that what's going to be following $700,000-$800,000 in today's market. What? However, in relationship to kiddushin, it's difficult to say that there was going to be another lot, another cash outlay, which is yet to come. And therefore, said the Taz, there is no doubt that once we see Kesef as what? As a Kenyan per se, as simply a Maisa Kenyan, by Kedushin, therefore I believe it works that way, the Cholatai Raku. Hold on, one second. According to the Sma, Rashi's case would not be correct. Rashi's case would not be correct. If the nature of Kenyan Kesef is what? Payment towards what? Towards what I'm getting, right? I'm getting something, so I'm going to start to pay you. How could you ever trigger a divorce by me giving, by the husband giving the wife another dollar? How could he possibly do so? What would he be getting? Yeah. Nothing. What? Freedom. Okay. But that's just, he doesn't need that to give the freedom. He can get somebody else. Okay? But therefore the Taz says, once you recognize it as a formal act of acquisition, of creating a kinyan, then Rashi's case makes sense. What do I want to do? What do I want to do when I want to divorce my wife? What do? I want to create a kinyan to sever the bond. Therefore, the way to do it is a mitzvah kinyan through kesef. But if the Sma were correct, then it would be impossible to assume that the way to divorce your wife with Kesef would be for me to take the dollar out and give it to her. If it's Chilat Piraon, it should have been, as that single table suggested, that the wife should give me the dollar as Chilat Piraon to acquire her total freedom. That's point number one. He believes that every... I don't know. That's the question that the Taz asks. What? Who? The spot? Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's... Yes. Now, the Taz himself, the Sma himself, defended himself from this particular argument of the Taz. That if this would be the case, the way the Gemara suggested that what? The Gemara suggested that if not for the Pasuk, what would I have said? If not for the Pasuk V'chasav, what would I have said? Can you get divorced by what? By Kesef? Yes, you could get it. And the Sma would have said, no, according to you, hey, the wife should give it. He said, no, I know why I had to have the other way around. It's only Zera Midrabban. Because if the wife would have what? Given the money for her release, some will say that what? As the Gemara's expression in the Sefer Gittin is, that Kategar... that if you can what? If you can go ahead and effect divorce by the woman giving money, you know what else you can do? You can effect kedushin by the woman giving money. That we know, God forbid, double ring ceremony. We don't want those kind of ceremonies where the woman is giving the ring to the hubby. So it's only to protect the halacha kedushin, therefore you get such a word. But anyway, the machlokes which you should remember is the Taz and the Sma. Taz and the Sma. Yes.
Did you also say that, at least by, if we're saying that the whole concept, according to the Sma, that Tchilat Tiraho, meaning that the time frame,
right.
You cannot have any kind of time frame from the Genesis, because Jesus means...
Finished. Good point. Very good point. By Kedushin.
No, there's that, you know what? I
there's an exception to the rule.
But, you know,
I hear what you're saying. Point well taken. Point number two. The Aruch HaNer asks this very interesting question. Could Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, who says that you're not allowed to write a document, a get, on an animal or on an edible, how come no Rishon has ever discussed about writing a Shtar Kedushin on it? According to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, we know that there is, what? Let's do Makish Havayi Leitzia. Just as the standards of what? Of Gerushin, and we go back and forth, are that you're only allowed to write a get on something that is not an edible and not an animal, not an animal, so say the same thing by Kedushin. V'lo motzin davar b'chol hashas, says the Aruch HaNer. I trust him. I didn't go through all the Talmud Bavli. No place in shas do they mention that as a possibility. Yes.
By Kedushin, the shas not chalot. Isn't it mamash?
Well, each of these is potential for shock. I don't give any shock.
But practically, that's not what we're doing.
But what happens if you did? That's the case.
So if you did, that would be fine.
No, but the Gemara would say that if I wrote a shock on this animal, Hareyach the Kudeshis Lee, the Behema Zoo, the Kedushin's not common. Just like the Gerushin's not common. How come the Gemara never makes that statement? Okay. So Rishonim should have discussed this. Somebody should say it. So the Aruch HaNer suggests something that this will support the Ritz novel Chidush. In Masechus Gittin, Safbeis Omid Beis Bedafei HaRiv. Very famous Riv, Rabotai. Somebody writes a Kshtar Kedushin, and for some reason the Kshtar was puzzled. Okay, Kshtar is puzzled. So, can you get married with a Kshtar is puzzled? Puzzled. Let's assume two witnesses were relatives. Kshtar is puzzled. Said the Riv, if the Kshtar is worth more than a pruta, she'll get married. Why? You talk Kesef. Chiddush of the Riv. That if you have a document that is a shtar doesn't have to be worth a pruta. Does not have to be worth a pruta. That's the uniqueness of shtar. But if it was worth a pruta, and I disqualify it from the vantage point of a shtar, so she'll be prudential. I gave her a kesef. Ah, that's the whole debate. Do you have that kabbalah to be mitzvah with? That's the whole debate about the Riv. That's the Riv sheet. Therefore, the Aruch Maner says, even if you wanted to disqualify an animal or an edible as an official shtar, the minute it's certainly worth a shove of pruta. I've never seen an animal that's not worth a pruta. I've never seen an animal that's not worth a pruta. So whenever you give it to her, you can always be mekudeshes, mitam keset, and therefore the Gemara never discussed. I don't know if it's Simon too, but at least you should walk away tonight. You know that the Riff said something like that. That when you have a shtar that was disqualified by Kedushin, it can be called Mitzad Kesef. Very famous Riff. Let me invite you to come out. Says the Gemara, V'Rab Yosi Haglili, Hai Svara Minole. According to Rab Yosi Haglili, how does he know that what? That what? That you cannot be Megarish a woman with Kesef, and can only be Megarish her with a star? Answers the Gemara, Mi Sefer Krisus Nafkilei, Sefer Krisus, Sefer Korsa, the ain dover achar korsa. Only a safer can cut it off, but not any other method. So money is not a safer, so therefore it's no good.
Sorry, where does the source
of
the Gemara learn that women can be
nicknessed
with three?
By Kedushin?
Yeah, Kesef
Shtar. We learn out Kesef from Shtar?
From Ephron, right?
That's correct.
And Shtar is learned out.
Stars went out from Get.
And
that's just the way the Torah describes it. You know, Kiyovo Alehel. That's it. Yeah. In fact, thank you for mentioning Ephron. Where do you think the Sma came up with his idea that that's the nature of Kinyan Kesef? Thank you for reminding me. How did he know that Kinyan Kesef is Tchilat Piraon? How did he know that? Because the Gemara says, where do I learn out Kinyan Kesef from by Kedushin from? Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephron. Right? He says, Kesef HaSodeh, Kach Mimeni. And there it says, Kiyikach Ish Isha. So I compare Ephron and it. Now what was the purpose of Avram's payment of 400 shekel over La Socher? Wasn't that Tchilat Piraon? Of course it was. He gave him the land, the Ma'arach HaMakpelah, and Abraham paid 400 silver pieces. And that's the origin of the halacha of Kesef by Kinyan Kedushin. Says the Sma. Jah says by Kicha of Ephron. The payment from Abraham to Ephron was Tchilat Piraon, as well as the Kinyan. That's how Abraham bought it. So he used it as a legal mechanism, but it also had the phenomenon that it was the beginning of the payment. Therefore, said the Sma, that's the way Kinyan Kesef works. You give it, in effect, it's a small down payment for that which you will owe, having received something in return. That's the origin of the Sma, because Kicha Kicha is the drash for Kinyan Kesef. Asks the Gemara, the Idach, what do the Chachamim learn out from Kor Sefer Krisus, what did they learn out? Because they learn out this other halacha from the other, from Vakasa. Answers the Gemara, Hahu mi boyele lidovar hakoreis lebeino lebeino. That it tells you, it's a qualifying remark about Dovar HaKoreis Beino LeBeino. Namely, that there has got to be a total severing of the bond between the husband and the wife. Kidusanya. An illustration to this is furnished in a brisa. If somebody says, Hare Zegitech Al-Minas Shalotishte Yayin Ve-Al-Minas Shalotechi LeBeis Avich Le'olam. Somebody says, this is your bill of divorce on condition that you don't drink any wine for the rest of your life. Or, two, that you don't go to your father's house for the rest of your life. Ain, it's not a get. The get's not chal. Ain zeh krisus. Why? Because there is something that as a result of what he said, she is not completely free. There are strings attached. And if there are strings attached, it's not co-race. However, if he says kol shloishim yayin, if what? If he only said, I don't want you to drink wine for 30 days, I don't want you to go to your father's house for 30 days, under those circumstances, that would be okay. Because that's just like a tanai. That's just don't go for 30 days, and then retroactively what happens? That's okay, because it can go into effect within a reasonable amount of time. That's okay. It depends. The answer is, if she goes to her father's house, yes. She drinks wine, yes. If not, she won't. It's a good question.
She doesn't have to wait for
her. Technically, she does have to wait. What? But it's like everything in the Durham. It depends. That's what the Daf Yomi yesterday. A guy makes a neder and he says, "I will be a nazir if I drink wine. If I go to the movies today, I'll be a nazir tomorrow." Luke, are you allowed to? Are you allowed to drink wine? What? What? The question is, do I have to worry that tomorrow I'm going to go to the movies or not? So if I go to the movie, then I have to be a nazir. So do I have to stop drinking wine today just in case I go to the movies tomorrow? So that's the whole darkness. Some say yes, some say no. So, yeah. The Itach, so how does Rav Yosi Haglili learn this particular halacha? Mikoros. could have said, the chasav lot sefer koreis. Why did it have to write sefer krisus? So you learn out two things from that, okay? So you learn out that you need a sefer krisus and that what you can't have nothing else tying them together. The Idach and the Rabbanan will respond, koreis krisus loy darshan. They don't think that you should darshan just because it says krisus as opposed to koreis that you should darshan. Okay, fine. There it is. The major discussion on these last couple of lines is centered around a Tosfos B'Dibur HaMaschil Al Minas Shelo Telchi LeBeis Avich LiOlam Ein Zekrisus. Asks Tosfos, why can't this be considered Krisus? What happens if the father will drop dead tomorrow morning? The father dies? No? So is this, she said, I don't want you to go to your father's house. No, father will drop dead tomorrow. No, it's not his father's house anymore. Her father's house. So why do you necessarily feel that this stipulation can never be fulfilled and therefore it is co-race? It should be what? Why is it a co-race?
You're saying that's quite a negative. You should think that it is co-race.
Correct. That place is cash. It should be.
So who's affecting the crisis there? Not the husband. Yeah.
So what? It's like any. It doesn't have to. It's a stipulation. That's all. As long as it's not forever. Asks Tosfos, and he proves it from the Gemara in the Dharma. Just let me read the Tosfos Kashya. Let's read the Taisus inside. Al menas shalotelchi lebeis avich liolam ein zekrisus. Tamar. This is by me a wonder. Vaha imeis, if Pop dies, lo hashiva su beis aviv. It's no longer the father's house. Kidisnan v'nedarim, perachashutven. Staff and Bob will be there in like 3 days. Right? No, not quite. 3 weeks. Konem lebeischa she'eni nichnas, soda she'eni lokeach. I am creating an isur upon myself that I am not going to enter your house. Or I am creating an isur upon, a nether upon myself that I'm never going to buy your field. Very nice. Meis o shemachro la'al acher mutter. If that guy dies, so then I'm allowed to walk in. It's not his house anymore. Or if the guy sold the house to somebody else, or the field to somebody else, then I can buy it. It's not his field anymore. Same thing, he has Tysus. If the guy dies, it's no longer the base of the... That's Tysus' cash. So number one, so there are various answers to this particular question. And number one, most other Rishonim, such as the Rashba, Tosis HaRosh, and the Ramban, believe that the question should also be on a second contingency. There's a second way in which this house will no longer be Papa's house. Correct. If the father sells. The Gemara in Nedarim gave two illustrations in which you can remove yourself from this nether. The guy dies, or what? Sell. Why does Tosfos only ask that? There's another option. This woman should be able to be considered divorced because the father can go ahead and sell the house tomorrow morning too. So the Rashban and the Chanami, says the Ramban, the question you have to ask both. You have to answer both. And in fact, because the Ramban and the Tosfos HaRosh perceive that it does apply to both, they're not satisfied with Tosfos' answer. Now let's read Tosfos' answer and tell me why they're not satisfied with it. V'yesh lo'imar, answers Tosfos. The base of Eve, kruyin chol yotze chalatzav shel aviv, v'afal pishemes. Tosfos says, the mere fact that the pop dies will not change the status of this house. This house will still be called Beis Aviv. Why? Because the people who inherit it will also, even though it's now the heirs, it still will be identified as what? As Beis Aviv. How does Tosfos know that? Tosfos says, I'll prove it to you. Ki de ashkechan gabe tamar, Shahisa Bito Shel Shem. According to tradition, Tamar, who married Er and Onan, was Shem's daughter. Shem, Noah's son, Shem. Must have lived a very long time, Ms. Tamar. Shem must have been very old. Must have had her at very old age, and he lived a long time. Very nice. And we know, there's no proof in the Torah, because the Torah doesn't tell us when he died. But according to the way Tosfos operates, when Tamar married Aaron Onan, Shem had already died. Yeah. Correct. That's the pasuk he quotes. And yet, Yehuda said, Shvi almana beit avich. Ukvar meis avir. And the father already died. Sure, because in Pashas Noach it says, but it doesn't tell. It just says that he lived. That Vayichi Shem Acharei Holy, whatever it is, our Pasha, whoever it is. Chamesh Me'o Shana Vayomot. You don't know exactly when he died. So the mere fact that it says in the Chumash that he died of Pashas Noach doesn't mean that he died 20 seconds later. But anyhow, Tosfos took it literally. He was dead. And yet Yehuda said, Shvi almana beit avich. So you can see that despite the fact that the owner of the house is dead, what do you call it?
Beit Avich. Beit Avich.
But the way Tysus understands it, he purposes it literally that it is the house and the father's not here, and it's so called Beit Avich. Here too claims Tysus that even if the pop were to die, the wife would not be released, and therefore what type of what's lacking? Chrisus. She is still tied unto the husband by virtue of his statement. That's correct.
Same thing.
Could use that same thing. Binureha Beis Aviyah. That's correct.
Isn't the second answer also problematic?
What second answer?
The same if he sold the house, because...
Yeah.
That's
why not? Good. That's the Marshal says. That's what the Marshal says. Tysus didn't have to say it because it's so obvious in defending Tysus. Because if you claim that what? That you're going to still attach father's name to a deceased father because his children are occupying it, so then you don't have to be such a genius to figure out that if the father sold the house, what can he do? Tomorrow morning he can buy another one. That now becomes Beit Avich. So therefore, as long as she is alive, it is theoretically possible to preclude her from entering the father's house. And therefore, it's lacking in Chrisus. Correct. That's exactly how the Marsha answers that particular question. Right here, the Marsha, right here. Yes. Now, who said that the word, who said that, that bias doesn't mean like, So some Achroinim say, we say Tysus is taking things a lot too literally. We're going to say tomorrow morning in Halev, Yoyimru na Beis Aharon, ki liyoyon kas. What do you think that means, Beis Aharon? It means the family, exactly. It doesn't mean the household. The psukim and chumash don't necessarily mean that what? Or when the Torah writes by Yom Kippur, v'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beiso, it doesn't mean that the Kohen has to go ahead and seek atonement for what? For the walls of the house. It means the main part of his family, the Akeres Habayis, was considered the wife. So in Biblical Hebrew, beiso doesn't really mean the house. So to quote Shvi Amonah beiso bir, says, he blew it, because that's not the intention in Biblical Hebrew of the use of bias. It obviously refers to the family, to the tribe, or things of that. It doesn't mean that the technically household. So the Tysus is raya, no raya whatsoever. That's point number two. Right. In fact, Tysus doesn't give you this, but there is another caveat to it. How does Tysus know for a fact that Tamar was the daughter of Shem? He doesn't tell us this. How does he know that? But the Medrash fills in the blank. Because what did Yehuda instruct Tamar? How was she to be killed? Hotziuha v'tisareh. That's correct. The Pasuk in Pashas Emor says, Ubat Kohen, ki seichel is no, et avira hi mechalelet, ba'esh tisareif. What? Everybody else is chenik. Correct. Even the husband. Right. It's only her, only the bas kohen. He bisreifa, the aim ho'al of bisreif. Kohen, that's the way I love it. So, right? Kohen Eliyahu. That's correct. So therefore the Medrash assumes that since Yehuda instructed Tamar, thinking that she had an affair, to be burnt and not simply to what? To be executed, therefore she must have been a bas koyin, and shame is identified, v'hu kohen le'el elyon.
Right. Correct.
It's the problem is the krisus.
So the point being is when you set up a situation that some outside factor,
right,
the husband's not doing the act of krisus. The act of krisus is occurring because the tonight being fulfilled, but more passively than actively. Is there any problem with that? Is the krisus that?
Does it have to be the husband's doing the creases?
I mean, I'm sorry.
No. That's not where the chasaron is. It's not that... That the husband had to do something. No. Correct. As long as it's not shloshim yom, the Gemara, the Brisa said that it works. So the husband does nothing there. Correct. That's a very good point. 1,000%. As long as it's... It's possible to be fulfilled, and it's not the oilam
v'er. Possible or definite?
Definite. No, it's possible that it could be fulfilled. Possible. Yes.
Right.
No. We point out the difference between Breira
and Tanakh.
Right.
And
Tanakh. The Tanakh, that doesn't have to be ending. Yeah. You have to be able to see that when something is written, so you have to know the Maita has to be defined, and there is an extraneous Tanakh. By Breira, we said, we don't know which Chalos is taking effect. That's what we said. We didn't say anything about time. The Rashba responds to Tosis's kasha, and he said, Tosis, you forgot a very famous phrase that's repeated in the Masechta Zadarim 50,000 times. B'nedarim halokha halashon b'nei adar. You have to see what people have in mind. So when, in neder, when a guy says that what? Why says that what? I will take a neder. And I'm never going to enter your house. So what's the inference? And if I sell the house, it's not my house. That's my nidar. But we try to operate based on the way people talk and the way they analyze things. When it's not nidarim, you don't operate with that type of precision. And as a result, when he makes the neder and says, "What? I don't want you to go hareza gita al menach that you don't go to your father's house," we don't care. He obviously, the intention is what? Never to allow her during the course of her lifetime to want to enter her father's house. We don't care where he's living, who owns the house, makes no difference. It's only by a neder where we have this principle, halot achal l'shon b'nei adam, that we have a right to what? To make an inference, oh, it's not the father's household, therefore I can go ahead and violate. The neder is no longer binding. But when it comes not to nedarim, you don't have that right to be as lax in our understanding of what is to take place. Yeah.
By neder, if someone says that I will go to your house and sell the house, and then she buys another house, he's allowed to go in.
What is that?
Someone buys another house by neder, so the neder is not valid anymore. It's not the same house. Someone says that
it depends how. It depends how he phrases it. If he says by zeh, but if he says that I'm not entering your house, and he buys another house, I can't enter that house either, because I own it. Or you own it.
Right.
Yeah, so whichever house is mine, it's my base seat.
Right, it,
but not some other house. If I buy another house, I can't enter that one.
Right.
You're 100%. No doubt. If I sell it and I buy another one, I can enter this one. It's not my house anymore. Not your house. Therefore, I can do that. Sure. Okay, we'll stop here, Rabbi Time.